But I want us to grasp hold of the thought of these last few Sundays of teaching about activating the power. God has made it available. It's up to us to act upon it. So God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has done something very amazing for those who believe. Those that believe in the authority and power of God, the power and authority of Jesus, the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, the power and authority of God's Word. Did you know God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and His Word are one?
Amen.
Did you know that there's no contradiction in the Bible in which those four things, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, those present as Almighty God, they are not in opposition of each other. And they operate with power and authority. For God has given that authority to the church. So He is head of the church, and we're the church. We need to recognize that we're in a spiritual battle. Do you believe that we're in a spiritual battle today?
Yes. That's right.
We're in a spiritual battle. The kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. That battle is for your soul and the souls of others.
Yes.
And God knew it would take faith and trust in Him to overcome the devil's deception. So we have to ask this question: what is feeding your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. And the reason why I'm saying that, what is feeding your soul? It's amazing what tries to get our attention. Amen. What is grasping your attention? What is it that's getting you to the point of where you're looking at it or listening to it or focused on that thing that is trying to navigate your life? Because what you meditate on every day will be the nature you become. Let me say that again. Because what you meditate on every day will be the nature you become. I'm talking about a spiritual life here. You know, it still goes back to that saying, if I sit in a garage, I'm going to become a car. Right?
Right?
That's not what we're talking about. This is about what has your attention. What is your priority in life? What is it that you draw your attention on? Because what you draw your attention on, the nature you will become. Let's read what Jesus said. Remember, I'm talking about activate the power. So let's look at Matthew 16:19. God's on the throne, right? God is on the throne. Nothing will ever change that. Are you meditating that God is on the throne? Is He ruling and reigning, and you call yourself a child of God? Say, I am a child of God. Now the question is, do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe God is sitting on the throne, and I believe that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, and that because of what God did and what Jesus did and what the Holy Spirit is doing, that we are children of God. We have to believe that. So when we look at Matthew 16:19, I want us to grasp this thought of when Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, that He's speaking not to just make everybody feel good. He's saying some things here that are true, because Jesus does not lie. For I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So the question is, do you believe that?
Yes.
So let me ask parents, did you ever pray over your kids? Did you ever speak over your kids?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So why do you think it's any different from God or with Jesus to think, you know what, He's not speaking over us? So when we think of, I give you the keys of the kingdom, what I want us to understand is, these keys give you and I authority. Because we're children of God, joint heirs in Christ. Say this with me. I've been given
the keys.
The keys. keys.
Give me authority.
All right. So you're going to say, well, what's the keys? What's the keys that I have? Number one, prayer. A key to the successful Christian life is prayer. Number two, God's Word. God's Word is a key for your life and my life. Number three, the Holy Spirit is a key to our life, to live this Christian life. Number four, the using of the mighty name of Jesus. Now, when I say in the mighty name of Jesus, I mean it in a reverential way. Authority is delegated power. And so the Holy Spirit has delegated power. The Holy Spirit is not it. The Holy Spirit is a person sent to help us.
Amen.
So let's look at John 14, 16 and verse 17. This is Jesus saying, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you
forever.
The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Whom the world can't receive." You see what's going on in this world? You see the chaos that's actually going on in this world? It says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Is that the truth or is that a lie? Everybody say the truth, okay? It is the truth. So to have the Holy Spirit in our life, there's power and authority in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is part of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? And it's the Spirit of truth. And he dwells with you and will be in you. Let's look at Luke 10, 17. This is Jesus speaking to not just 12 disciples, he's speaking to 70. Then the 70, because he sent them out two by two, right? It says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." It says, "Then he," Jesus, "said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So it said, you know what? You cast out demons in my name, but I don't want you to get puffed up. You better be glad that your name's written in heaven. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." So for you and I, we're children of the King. And we're joint heirs in Christ. Now, when we look at these 70 disciples, I want us to understand that he's saying, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions." What he's saying, demonic powers, you've got the power over.
Amen.
And many times people don't understand the power that they have in Christ. But you have to activate the power. Notice what the 70 said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." So at this time, the 70 haven't even received the Holy Spirit, but they use the name of Jesus. All right, let's look at Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So there's something very specific here that Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples, right? When we look at our life, I want us to see something very important here about Matthew 28. Notice that Jesus spoke these words after his death on the cross. He spoke these words after his burial. He spoke these words after he defeated Satan in hell. He spoke these words after the resurrection. He spoke these words after his ascending with his own blood to the heavenly holy of holies. He spoke these words after his returning to walk the earth for 40 days. But just before he ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he spoke those words. So when we think of power and authority, something had to be in place in which Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to speak this to the disciples, and I want them to grasp this thought, because you know what, I'm not going to be around here anymore. I'm not going to be here to heal the sick. I'm not going to be here to open the eyes of the blind. I'm not going to be here to do the things that I've called the church to do in my name. Even Mark records the same thing, what Jesus said. Look at Mark 16, 17. Before Jesus ascends, Jesus speaks these words. These signs shall follow those who believe. Do you believe? Amen. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it says it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Hallelujah.
When we read this, I want us to grasp this thought. When Jesus said, in my name. Now, when we say in his name, remember, God's always looking at our heart. We don't just say in his name at the end of a prayer. If we get that in there, it's going to happen. Remember, it's always about faith. And it's always about our trust, and it's about our motive of why we're praying. So that means the authority in his name is above every name that has been given to the church. How many times do believers in faith pray and say, in Jesus' name? How many times have we passed by the opportunity to actually pray? In Jesus' name. Because there's authority in the name of Jesus. So that authority has been given to you and I. You and I have authority over the enemy. Didn't we just read that in Mark 16? So I have this badge right here. It's called Sheriff. I could put this on and I know it's a pretend badge, right? There are people, the police department, that have badges. This badge means something. It means they have authority, right? Once they put the badge on and they're in their uniform, that they can say stop to somebody driving a car to where they literally have to stop. But he doesn't have the ability, the strength to literally stop the car. It's saying I have authority to take the position of that who's driving the car. Because of who you are in Christ, we know there's an enemy that's driving a car, and you need to use the authority to stop the car.
That's right.
Otherwise, he's going to try to run over you. So there's spiritual authority that you and I have in the name of Jesus. Susie and I have prayed over our kids in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against them will prosper in the name of Jesus. There's been business situations that have gone on in our lives. There's been church things that have gone on in our lives. We've had marriage situations that have been challenging. And you know what? In the name of Jesus, we're believing in the power and authority of God.
Amen.
And we need to understand that in our prayer life, in our time that we're seeking God, prayer is a key in activating the power. The Word of God is number two of where we're believing what the Word of God says. Like Susie and I, no weapon formed against us will prosper in the name of Jesus. When we're praying that we're believing, Father God, I know that we're in disagreement, but Father God, I thank you that the bond of love is greater than our disagreements.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
You, when there's a financial situation and you're trying to figure out by your own wit how this is going to happen, and we're praying and believing, God, you know all things before we ask, but we're going to pray in the name of Jesus and trust in you because of faith and because He is Almighty God. Now, your journey may be a little bit different than in our life, but the thing is, you're going through stuff just like we go through stuff. And to not take the opportunity to pray and see the power of God work, that's on us. Okay? John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. So if He's already did it, then what I have to say is I've got to be the new sheriff in town and say, you know what, God, I'm going to pray over my family. I'm going to believe the authority that you've given me, and I'm going to come against the wiles of the enemy. Yeah. Amen. You may not be married, but the thing is, you better know who you are in Christ and believe the authority that God has given you. Amen. Because you are a joint heir in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't, I'm going to keep one eye open. No, this is for real. Jesus died on the cross so that we can live this life victorious. It's not about us, it's about Him. Yet He's given us keys to use so that we can navigate through life, because we're all going to face it. Remember, the Word of God says it rains on the just and the unjust. So let's look at Ephesians 6:10. So did Paul have an encounter with Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Remember, Saul of Tarsus, which then he had a God encounter with Jesus, his name got changed to Paul. Saul was a persecutor of the believer, but yet God changed his life, right? So as we look at Ephesians 6:10, I want us to grasp the spiritual thought in how we're living and navigating through life right now. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Prayer is important. The Word of God is important. The Holy Spirit is important. In the name of Jesus, the knowing the Godhead, that you and I live this life, that we are in a battle, whether we like it or not. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, says being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. If we would read that every day, there would be something that would change in our nature. Because then we'd start saying, you know what, I'm not warring against flesh and blood. This is about principalities and powers. There's evil in this world. And many times people will war against each other, war against each other, war against each other, when really we should be praying more for each other. Right?
Amen.
But there's a distinct thing here that Paul's trying to say. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And we need to guard our minds and our hearts from the things that are of the devil. And God has given us something that's called the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, we get wisdom, we get knowledge, we grow in faith. Because you know what? The attacks are going to come.
Right.
Actually says that right there. And I think of times, you know, when I had my shield down, that was dumb. I should have my shield up. Where's my sword? Where's my sword? Where did I leave the sword? Where's the sword? Oh, here it is, right here. Here's the sword right here. This is the sword right here. So when's the last time you opened up your sword? When did you have this encourage your heart? When did this equip you to say, you know, I can take this day on? Because the Word came alive.
Amen.
We do not use authority and power based on our own strength and our own ability. The authority and power is only active when you and I are strong in the Lord and in the power of His mind. So I remember one day sitting at my desk at work. I had so much stress, I thought I was having a heart attack. Just the pressure. This has been probably several years ago, but I said, God, I need help. And I didn't care who saw me or what. I just bowed my head and I prayed right there.
Glory to God.
Because I needed some relief. I needed to pull the tension off of myself to say, God, you got this. God, you got this. God, you got this. Now, that's my story. That's not your story. But all I'm saying is, I know what? I felt, after that, I felt the burden was taken off. There's something about the peace of God that surpasses our understanding because I was believing something was helping me in the spiritual, not in the natural. Didn't like what I went through or was going through, how I was going to handle it. But I know at that moment, that's what I needed. And I think every one of us has been there. I think every one of us has been at that place. Oh, Pastor, you got it all together. You got it all figured out. No, I don't. Every day is different. Every day I need prayer. Every day I need to seek God. Every day there's something that's within me that I'm going to face a challenge that I need the Lord's help. Just like you did. And so then we're challenged of who's on the throne. Is God going to be on the throne? Or am I on the throne? Am I going to be on the throne? That was an aha moment for me to where I need to put God back on the throne. Because I was going to try and figure it out. But you know, the stress was so heavy. I literally felt like I was having a heart attack. But what that did was say, you know what? I need to keep putting my trust in God rather than my own ability and my own strength. Just give it to God. Just give it to God. He knows me better than I know myself. So let's look at the last scripture, 1 Peter 5:6. Peter had some great insight about Jesus. He had great insight about the things of the Spirit, too. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It doesn't say the mighty hand of yourself. It says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So I'm going to stop, and I'm going to read this different without the words, after you've suffered a while. Now listen with different ears. And taking out after you have suffered a while, because he refers to this knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So listen very carefully. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. So let me say it again. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? We're going to go through things in life. But if there's something that Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth, as you being a child of God, he says, you know what? I want to see something perfect in you, established in you, strengthened in you, and settled in you because of who I am. Amen?
Amen?
Christ in you doesn't mean that we're not going to face things. But he is wanting to prove himself every day in your life. So what can we learn from these scriptures? Don't let the devil have a foothold. Resist the powers of darkness. In 1 John 5, 3 through 4, it says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are burdensome. But I like what he's saying with this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We need our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? So my encouragement to you today is, use your overcoming faith and trust in God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.